welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. In this hour, sitcoms. Later on, it's the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. But right now, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. This episode first heard on February 27th, 1949 on NBC.
Oh, for goodness sake.
What's the matter?
All these short stories without any endings drive me crazy. Here's one where a mysterious voice keeps calling this fellow on the telephone. You never do find out who it is.
Well, are you sure you finished the story?
Oh, sure. I even turned the page like a big dope.
Well, here, read this. You'll like it. It's a complete story in one sentence. And every word is true.
Let's see it. Oh, of course. America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers.
America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Ozzie and Harriet have been playing hide the button. There they are in the living room. Harriet opens the desktop, closes it. Ozzie scratches his head. Harriet opens the big bottom drawer, closes it. Ozzie scratches his head. Whatever she's looking for, it isn't in there. Uh-oh, she's headed for the dining room. Ozzie's right behind her. Now she's searching the china closet.
Not there, huh?
Doesn't seem to be.
How about behind the serving tray?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it's got to be someplace. Have you looked inside the buffet?
No, not yet. Might just be in here.
Any luck?
No, darn it.
Gee, I wish we could find it.
So do I. I'll probably remember where I put it. Thanks very much for helping me look.
No, it's no trouble at all.
You know what I'm looking for?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Think it might help if you did know?
Well, it might, but don't tell me. I like surprises.
Wait a minute. I think it's starting to come back to me.
Oh, you may as well tell me. What did you lose?
Don't interrupt me. The kitchen.
Oh, Harriet, you haven't gone and lost the kitchen again.
I remember now, I was in the kitchen. Come on.
I'm right behind you. Signal if you're going to stop suddenly. You still haven't told me what you've lost.
$5. And I haven't lost it. See, it's right where I left it.
Now, wait a minute. You mean this is a regular thing with you, hiding money in the teapot?
What's wrong with that? Besides, I don't always put it in the teapot. Sometimes I use the sugar bowl. Or if they're nice new bills, I sometimes hide them in the encyclopedia or the dictionary. What are you laughing at?
Well, the female conception of money matters is just such an amazing thing.
What's wrong with it?
Hey, it's okay with me just as long as women don't go into the banking business.
Who says they aren't?
Well, it's common knowledge. All the big bankers are men.
Oh, who handles your paycheck every week?
You do. What's that got to do with it?
Well, look what your big bankers are married to. Women.
Well, that, naturally, they're married to women. What other choice has a man got?
Oh, now, don't give me that masculine superiority stuff now. It's just like my grandmother used to say. If there were no women in the world, you'd have nobody to sew the buttons on your pants.
Sure. My grandfather used to say, if there were no women in the world, we wouldn't have to wear any pants.
To stop the discussion and solve my problem. Since men are so good at handling money, why don't you take care of my $5 for me?
Well, if you think that'll relieve your mind, Denny, I'll be glad to.
Okay, here you are, dear. That's a big burden off my mind. Tonight I can go to sleep knowing my money is in the capable hands of First National Nelson, the Rock of Rogers Road.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Pop.
Hello,
hello, fellas.
What have we got? $2. yours.
Mr. Randolph gave it to us just for cleaning out his garage.
Let's see it. Hey, good for you. $1 apiece.
What are you going to do with it? Nothing foolish now, I hope.
Oh, no. I'm going to buy ice cream with mine.
Ice cream? A whole dollar's worth?
Oh, sure. I like ice cream.
Well, I like ice cream, too, but you can't eat a whole dollar's worth. That's kind of silly.
Well, that's his idea, Pop. I'd like to put our money together and get a $3 baseball.
Well, baseball's certainly a better choice than ice cream.
Especially if you're going to hit it with a bat.
No, I mean it. David's on the right track. He figures on using his money sensibly, getting the most out of it. You take your $2 and buy a $3 baseball. Well, just how do you do that, David?
I was figuring maybe you'd give us the other dollar.
Thanks, Bob. I'll get Mom's purse.
Now, wait a minute, boys. It seems to me this whole family needs a little lesson on the value of money. You want a $3 baseball, but all you have is $2. Did it ever occur to you might save up for it?
Well, why don't we borrow it from you and pay it back?
I think you'd get much more satisfaction out of saving it first. Now, your mother was faced with a similar situation a little while ago. She found an excellent solution. Harriet, tell the boys about that idea you came up with.
I'm letting your father take care of my money.
Pop? Pop?
The way you guys say that, you think I make weekly trips to Mexico with a briefcase.
Gosh, if we want to save it, can't we just put it in our cigar box?
Cigar box? How safe is that?
Nobody ever took any of the Beatles we had in it.
Money's a different thing. Look at it this way, boys. I'll be your bank. I'll keep your $2, and from time to time, you'll come to me with more money. Maybe only nickels and dimes, but your $2 will grow. Pretty soon, you'll have $3 and $4, $5, $6, so on. Doesn't that seem pretty good?
Yeah.
Only one thing, though. How does anybody ever get a baseball?
Hi, Oz.
Oh, hello, Thorny. Say, I want to ask you something purely out of curiosity, just to confirm a statement I made.
Yeah, what is it, Oz?
If you were a burglar and you just entered a house, what would be the first thing you'd head for?
Well, I don't know. You've been a burglar longer than I have.
Probably the teapot or the sugar bowl or a cigar box. I just had a little discussion with Harriet about the silly places women hide their money.
Well, that may be, Oz. As for myself, I've got the best place in the world to hide money.
Oh? Where's that?
You promise not to tell?
Of course I promise.
Cross your heart?
All right, cross my heart. Where do you hide your money?
In my wife's purse.
You consider that a safe place?
Absolutely.
You think it's burglar-proof?
Well, I've never been able to get anything out of it.
Well, maybe Catherine's different. I seem to be the only one with any sense of financial responsibility at our house. See, Harriet and the boys gave me $7 just a little while ago.
What for?
Well, I'm their bank, so to speak. See, I'm holding on to their money for them.
See, that's an idea. Maybe you can help me.
What's on your mind?
Well, you see, I've got $10 that's been burning a hole in my pocket. I've been keeping it to buy Catherine a birthday present.
You want me to take care of it for you?
Would you mind, Oz? Otherwise, I know darn well when Catherine's birthday comes, the money will be gone.
When is her birthday?
Well, it's not very far off, but frankly, I'm not so good at holding on to money.
Yeah. When is her birthday?
Tomorrow. Here you are, Oz. I sure do appreciate this.
Oh, I'm glad. Say, wait a minute. Where did you get this $10? You didn't hold out on Catherine, because I don't want any hot money in my bank.
Certainly not, Oz. As I said, all the money goes right into Catherine's purse. This little fella just wouldn't get in there.
Ozzy, you've changed clothes.
Yes, I just felt like a dark blue pinstripe today. Did I tell you Thorny gave me $10 to keep for him? That makes 17 altogether.
Say, you're becoming quite the banker.
I'll see who it is.
Hello, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, hello, Edgar.
I'm collecting for the paper, Mr. Nelson. $1.30.
All right, sir. I think we have the necessary assets to finalize this transaction.
What's that?
That's bank talk, Edgar. Could have sworn I put in. I guess I put in my own. Let's see here. Holy smokes, I've lost my money.
There's a man down the street, and he never pays me.
I changed suits. I remember taking the money out of the pocket of the other trousers. And here, my coat. It's the strangest thing I ever heard of.
A man down the street never pays me. what his wife does.
Look through these pockets again.
His wife says she gives him the money, but he spends it. Sometimes he make-believes he lost it.
Took the money out of the other pants.
Could I speak to Mrs. Nelson, please?
Put them on the chair.
Mrs. Nelson!
Now, Edgar, there's no need of dragging Mrs. Nelson. Could you come back tomorrow, please?
Will Mrs. Nelson be home then?
Edgar, if you please come back tomorrow, I promise you I'll give you your money.
I want to talk to Mrs. Nelson.
No, Edgar, come back tomorrow. Mrs. Nelson is busy.
Mrs. Nelson!
Edgar, get your foot out of the door. Now, come back tomorrow. That's a good boy. Goodbye, Edgar. I went in the dining room.
What are you looking for, dear?
No, Harry.
What are you looking for?
Have you seen my little gold collar pin?
Yes, you have it on.
Oh, so I do.
Now what are you looking for?
Have you seen that pair of black shoelaces I bought the other day?
Yes, they're upstairs on your brown shoes. Where are you going?
Just out to the kitchen.
What are you looking for?
I'm just looking, that's all. Looking is a wonderful way to find things. You see, even if you're not looking for anything in particular, sooner or later you'll find something. For instance, if I were looking for money, which, of course, is ridiculous, but if I were looking for money, yeah, I'd look in here. Take off the lid, put in my hand.
Oh, Ozzie.
It's a fine thing. You put your hand in the teapot and get money. I get hot tea.
There's been a mysterious disappearance of $17 at 1847 Rogers Road. Attention, all law enforcement agencies. This $17 must be recovered. Call all national and international authorities. Come in.
Federal Bureau of Investigation reporting. No clues on Nelson cases yet. Brown, Washington office.
Nous n'avons pas information en regard, Monsieur Nelson Cabarge. La plume est sur la table. Ouvrez la fenêtre. Préfète de gendarmerie, la Ousgao, Paris.
Junior G-Men reporting. No trace of Nelson money. We are still searching. This is Reed, boy counter spy and child actor. That is all.
Berliner Stationhaus. Wir haben Nelson Geld nicht gesehen, aber ich habe einen Onkel in Amerika. Hier ist Johann Müller. Auf Wiedersehen.
In the living room of 1847 Rogers Road, the search goes on.
Not under there. Maybe the Davenport.
Hi, Pop.
Oh, boys. Did you guys want something special?
Well, yeah, Pop. Remember today we gave you our money to keep for us?
Well, of course I remember. And I hope you guys realize the responsibility I've assumed. Handling your money is quite a load. Quite a load.
Well, you tell him, Ricky.
We'd like to unload you.
We'd like our money back now, please.
Boys, sit down on the couch for a minute.
Oh, please, Pop, don't talk us out of it.
They're selling those baseballs for $2 now. We don't have to wait.
Just a minute, fellows. Now, let's be sensible about this. As an investor, you have every right to ask for your money. I simply want to point out a few things. Now, believe me, I have no intentions of keeping your money if you really want it.
Can we have it?
No.
But, Pop...
Now, look at it this way. Why don't you draw on my experience? With shrewd management on my part, it's very possible you can double your money, even triple it. Perhaps we can make a few investments and quadruple it, make a lot of money.
Why don't we buy our baseball today? Then maybe some other time we can make a lot of money.
Boys, I may as well tell the truth. After all, as my investors, I owe it to you. The reason I don't want you to withdraw your money is because you'll buy that baseball, won't you?
That was our idea.
Well, after all, I'm your father. Why can't I buy you a baseball? In fact, I've been considering it for some time now.
Oh, gee, Pop, that's swell.
Yeah, I thought that'd satisfy you. You see, I'm not trying to hold your money back.
As long as we got our baseball now, we can spend our money for a bat.
A bat? I wish you wouldn't, David. I'm buying you a bat, too.
Oh, boy, now we can buy a catcher's mitt.
No. Let me buy you a catcher's mitt.
Thanks.
What else can we have? Boy, this is better than Christmas.
No,
how about some ice skates?
No.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, ring the alarm, somebody. They're robbing the bank. Could have been kicked under the bookcase, I guess. It's gotta be someplace. Come on in, Thorny.
Well, hello there, Nick boy. Nice fella. Nice doggy. Oz, where are you? Nice doggy.
Thorny, stop patting me on the head.
Why, it's Ozzy. I didn't recognize you down at all, boy. I wondered why Nick was all dressed up, though.
Anything special you want, Thorny? I'm pretty busy for those.
This will only take a second, Oz. I'd like to have my money back.
Thorny. Sit down. I want to have a talk with you.
I can't, Oz. There's a guy waiting on my porch with a COD package.
Oh, let him wait.
But I can't, Oz. It's Catherine's birthday present. Please, Oz, let me have it.
Now, as I understand this, Thorny, you're hinting you want your money back.
Come on, Oz. The guy's waiting.
Thorny, look at it this way. Your bank isn't merely to deposit money and then snatch it right back again. Why don't you also take advantage of my friendly counsel and advice on money matters? Now, how long ago did you order this package?
About an hour ago.
An hour ago? And they're sending it out already? Boy, they sure are anxious to get rid of it. Probably jump, they can't move off the shelves. Now, you see how lucky you are you came to me for my financial advice?
Oz, please.
You just better think it over, Thorny. Come back tomorrow. If you still want your $10, I'll be very happy to give
it. Oz, will you please give me my money before the guy goes away?
Now, Thorny... Just a second, Thorny.
What's the matter?
Gosh, Thorny, old man, old pal, I'd like to give it to you, but you know, regulations.
What regulations? I want my money.
Shh, Thorny, wait. Sorry, Thorny, all banks close at 3:00.
We want to let you in on something.
Oh, that's nice. What is it?
Well, just go to Pop and tell him you want your money back. And boy, you get all sorts of things.
We're right out of Liz first. We could have got more.
Boys, I'm afraid you've been taking advantage of your father's misfortune. Now, I'm going to let you in on something.
It'll have to be awful good to be better than ours.
Well, your father's a very capable man. He's always careful with money and... He probably had a good reason for leaving it in the middle of the living room floor. I'm playing a little trick on him.
You mean you've got our money?
Well, I don't have it, but I know where it is. Now, don't tell now. I hid it in the telephone book.
Are you playing a joke on Pop?
That's the idea, Ricky. Tonight at dinner, we'll all laugh about it.
Will Pop laugh?
Certainly. We may not hear it, but deep down inside of him, he'll be roaring. Yes?
Hello, I got your new phone books for you.
Oh, fine, thanks.
There's a hitch to the deal, though. You got to give me your old ones.
Oh, sure, just a second. I'll be right back.
Sure.
You just hum a little tune.
Oh, I will.
Here you are.
Oh, okay, I got them. Hey, you're not a bad doodler. You got some pretty good stuff here on the cover.
Well, I just draw those little pictures while I'm talking.
Any numbers on the cover here? You want a copy before I take these?
No, I don't think so. Just
you didn't leave anything in the books, did you?
Oh, no. They're just a couple of doodles here and there, but you're welcome to them.
You'd be surprised to think some people leave in phone books, you know. My partner Steve found 2 football tickets last year. Found a phone number on the cover, too. He called her up and took her to the game.
Well, see you about next August. So long. Goodbye.
Keep your doodles up.
Harriet!
Yes, dear?
I have a surprise for you. Look, brand new phone books.
New phone books?
about the old ones?
Old ones? Well, the men took them away. Right now, they're being chopped into little pieces. Then they go into the incinerator. What's the matter? What are you so excited about?
Oh, this is terrible. I was trying to play a silly little trick on you, and I did a ridiculous thing.
Don't say anything more. Let me tell you. You found the $17 I lost, and you put it in the phone book.
Well, yes, dear. How did you know?
Because that's where I found it.
Oh, you found it?
Well, of course I found it. I suppose you think I'm so dumb that I don't know what goes on around here. Suppose you thought I was going to get worried. I knew you picked up the money, and I knew you put it in the phone book.
How did you know?
Well, I found it in there while I was looking up the number of a loan company.
Well, I guess you win, dear. That's the last time I'll ever try to fool my husband. You're just too smart for me.
Well, I wouldn't have found it if you hadn't have filed it so cleverly, putting it there on the page with the finance companies. Connecting finance and money. That's pretty smart.
Oh, no, you're mistaken. I didn't put it in the classified book. I put it in the green book under Doe. John Doe.
Well, you couldn't if it was in the yellow book. I've got the money right here. See? $17. A 10, a 5, a 20, and 3 ones. $17.
No, $38. Who put that in there?
Oh, Harriet, stop it. It's so obvious. You're playing one of your little jokes on me.
No, honestly, I'm not. My little joke is about being chopped up into little pieces.
Holy smokes, then we're out $17.
No, we're in $21.
Oh, yeah, keep your voice down. Harriet, this is miraculous. Money is springing up from nowhere.
Well, there's only one possible explanation. At some time or another, one of us put $38 in the phone book and forgot about it.
But that seems so unlikely. I've got it. Hello?
Is this Mr. Nelson of 1847 Rogers Road?
Yes.
I looked up your number. I'm the fellow who picked up your phone books today.
Oh, I'm glad you called. Did you find...
Easy, Mr. Nelson. Yeah, we found it. I knew you should look through those books.
Harriet, they found our $17. Well, I certainly appreciate your honesty.
Well, I got it right here, Mr. Nelson. A 10, 2 fives, 4 ones, and a 20. 44. We'll mail it out to you. Guess you'll be able to sleep now.
Sleep? Well, the money is just starting to come in.
They found our $17.
No, they found our $44. The $17 hasn't shown up yet.
Oh, Ozzy, this is ridiculous. There must be some sensible explanation.
Sensible? We don't have time to think of one. Get your coat.
What for? Where are we going?
Out to buy all the phone books we can find. We're going into the banking business. Harriet, are you awake?
Of course I'm awake.
So am I.
Have you tried counting sheep?
Oh, I've counted hundreds of them. Little green ones, then the little yellow classifieds. Finally figured out where the money came from.
Well, please tell me.
Well, it's really so simple. See, there was $38 in one book, $44 in the other book. That makes $82. There was originally only $17. That's a difference of $65. And here's what happened. David and Ricky got $65 and played a little trick on us. It was all a joke.
Well, of course, that's exactly what happened. Ozzy.
Harriet, I know the question that leaps into your mind. Where did David and Ricky get $65? Don't ask it. It's 4 o'clock and we've got to get some sleep.
You mean to say we're going to say goodnight without explaining all this money?
Don't be so naive. Don't you ever listen to the radio? Nothing under $25,000 needs any explanation. At least this is a happy ending. It's not canned goods and things.
I hate to say this, dear, but I'm a little disappointed in you.
You mean to say you want everything that happens to us completely explained and solved?
Yes.
Well, don't be so corny. We're living in a modern age. The age of the unfinished short story. You said so yourself.
But I don't like those. They leave you hanging in the air. I like to turn the page and find an ending there. I like everything explained.
Okay, I'll explain where the money came from. You see, David and Ricky wanted their money back to buy a baseball. So when I found it in the phone book, I gave it to them. But they changed their minds and saw something else in the store they liked better, and they bought that instead.
Well, how does that explain the money?
I'm afraid our son David has inherited a peculiar artistic talent, especially pictures of Lincoln and Washington. Probably got it from some member of your family you've never even told me about. Anyway, the printing press goes back tomorrow morning. Marvelous, ain't it? You see, they bought the printing press. They made counterfeit money.
Ozzie. And...
yes?
I'm sorry I turned the page.
Tune in again next week to another adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
And remember, America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers.
Yes, Harriet, America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers.
This is Vern Smith speaking. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 27th of February, 1949 on NBC. Part of that network's Sunday night lineup at 6:30. About 9.6 million people were tuned in for that broadcast. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Now, at the very same time as that last episode, following the show, it was Horace Heidt's Talent Hunt in an effort to compete with Jack Benny on CBS at that time. And following the show, it was the bandleader of the Benny program, Phil Harris, joined by wife Alice Faye on their own program. Part of NBC's Sunday night lineup at 7:30, over 16 million people tuned into this next broadcast, heard on October 23rd, 1949.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall Family Druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Tonight, Mr. Scott, the sponsor, is having a big formal party at his home in honor of the Harrises. Although it's still early in the afternoon, Phil and Alice are busy preparing for it.
Phil, please put down that magazine and get started. You have a lot of things to do.
But, Alice, I gotta read Esquire to make sure I'm dressed right for tonight. Now, let's see. It says, with a midnight blue tuxedo, it is considered proper to wear a moron tie.
Maroon! You know, Phil, I think it's wonderful of the sponsor to have this party in our honor. I'm thrilled.
I'm suspicious. What could his motive be?
Well, what are you suspicious about? I think Mr. Scott's being very nice.
He's being too nice. Whenever a boss is too nice to you, watch out. It's the kiss of death.
You know, Phil, he could be throwing this party for you because he likes you.
Don't be silly. What's there to like about me? There must be a method in his madness, and I... did I say what's there to like about me?
Yes.
Well, why don't you stop me when I say that? Another thing, why is it a formal party?
Mr. Scott has a position to maintain, and that's the way he does things.
Well, our old sponsor wasn't that formal. We never had to wear a tuxedo and evening gown when we went to Mr. Fitch's house. All we had to do was buy a bottle of shampoo, lather our heads, and go.
You're not being very gracious. Mr. Scott is going out of his way to be nice to you, and you don't even appreciate it.
Well, maybe you're right. I shouldn't have such a suspicious nature. I've been hanging around Remley so much, I don't trust anybody. I guess it's just this dressing up that bothers me. I hate going formal. Oh,
I know, honey, but women like to go formal. I love to get dressed up.
Well, with you, it's different. When you wear a formal gown, you look more beautiful than ever.
When you put on a tuxedo, you look handsomer than ever.
No, I must differ with you on that score. In my case, I don't need anything.
What makes you think you don't?
Well, let's face it, Alicia. Do you have to put an orchid in a crystal vase to show off its beauty?
Fair.
Or a Van Gogh in a gaudy frame? Look, honey, no matter what you wear, you're still going to be the prettiest one there. And if you wear that blue evening gown, the one I like so much, you're going to be
Mommy,
absolutely
right. This package just arrived for you.
What's in it, Mommy? Open it up. Let's see.
Well, not now, honey. It's not important. It's just a little something I need for the party tonight.
What kind of a party is it going to be?
Oh, it's a very formal affair. The nicest people in town are going to be there. Mr. and Mrs. Scott, a few Rexall vice presidents, some of our social leaders, the mayor...
And Uncle Frankie.
Frankie's been invited?
Yeah, they slipped him in for contrast. You know, it'll break up the monotony of nice people.
Uncle Frankie says he's going to bring a girl.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Phil, Frankie doesn't know any girls who would fit in with this crowd.
He does so. He's bringing a debutante.
Now, where would Frankie meet a debutante?
They met at a big society party. He was what she had to bring back on one of them scavenger hunts.
At this party, he always gets so noisy and he talks so much.
Wait a minute. Frankie knows his place. He's neither loud nor loquacious. Loquacious? Oh, Benita Ronnie was never this clever. Loquacious? Oh, you dove, you. Look, honey. Oh, I'll answer that.
Girls, come here. While Daddy's gone, I want to show you what's in this box.
Gee, I can't wait to see it, Mommy. What is it?
There. How do you like my new evening gown?
Oh, Mommy, it's beautiful. And such pretty colors.
Yeah. It's brown lace over yellow taffeta. Now, look, girls. Your daddy doesn't know I bought this, and I want to surprise him tonight, so don't say anything to him.
Okay, Mommy.
Oh, Phil, I'm leaving now. By the way, who called before?
Oh, that was your brother, Willie.
What did he want?
Well, he wanted to know if he should come over today, and I told him that he don't fit in the show this week, so he said, oh, fiddlesticks, and hung up. Such language.
I won't be long, Phil. Bye.
Bye, honey. Well, better start getting ready for the party tonight. It's for Rexall, so I better look healthy. First, I got to jack up the bags under my eyes. I think I'll fill in a few of those laugh lines. Just get a... There's the bell. Alice must have forgotten something. What'd you forget, honey?
Nothing, sweetheart. Just came over to say hello.
Oh, it's you, Franklin, huh? Come on in. I want to talk to you.
Well, if you want me to, but I don't feel much like talking.
What's the matter with you? Did somebody take the curl out of your corkscrew?
I'm upset about the party tonight.
Why so upset? You were invited. What's wrong now?
I haven't got a thing to wear.
Now, come over here. Franklin, now stop crying. Now stand still while I wipe the tears from your little rum-soaked cheeks. Great big thing out of it. I'll lend you a tuxedo.
You will?
Sure.
Oh, thank you, Curly. I'll also need shoes, studs, ties, socks, and money.
I can give you everything but the money. That you'll have to rent from Alice.
How about a dress shirt?
A dress? Oh, I'm sorry, Frankie. I don't have an extra dress shirt.
Well, that's a half-baked way of doing things. I can't wear a dress jacket with nothing under it.
Just try it. It might cause a little talk. You'll be the only guy wearing a tuxedo with a plunging neckline.
I'll cut it out.
It would be very provocative. Look, you can go out and buy a dress shirt.
Yeah, I suppose I can, but that doesn't solve my big problem.
What's the matter now?
My girlfriend doesn't have an evening gown.
A debutante doesn't have an evening gown?
Oh, the Deb ain't going with me.
Why not?
Well, she don't feel comfortable in a low-cut evening gown. She's self-conscious about her tattoo.
Oh, I see. When she wears a low-cut gown, her tattoo shows, huh?
Well, not all of it. Just the top mast of the battleship.
Well, she'll still be able to receive messages. By the way, Mr. Remley, who are you taking instead of this old salt?
I invited that girl I introduced you to the other night.
What girl?
The Austrian one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the one that looks like Eric von Stroheim.
That's a nasty thing to say about her just because she happens to have a saber wound on her cheek. She got that on the field of honor. She was refereeing a duel at Old Heidelberg, and she forgot to duck.
So that's what that scar is?
Yeah.
I thought she was knifed for squealing at Tehachapi. How long a fellow can be?
Curly, I resent that. I don't associate with stool pigeons.
Look, Remley, if your girlfriend don't have an evening gown, I'll lend her one of Alice's.
Oh.
Now, come on up and we'll pick one out.
Certainly is swell of you, Curly. It's going to mean a lot to Hildegard. She's never had an evening gown. She ain't accustomed to traveling in high society the way we are.
Poor kid, brought up with the rubble, huh? Well, well, it ain't all of us that can be high-born, huh, Franklin?
Oh, how true.
Here's Alice's closet.
Mm-hmm.
There you are. Take your pick.
Okay. Here's a nice blue gown. That should be...
Don't touch that.
All right.
It happens to be Alice's favorite.
Sorry.
I'll pick out an old one for you. Here's a rag, this brown and yellow job. You can have this thing. She couldn't possibly like this. I've never seen her wear it.
Well, I can't say that I blame her. Where'd she get an old beat-up-looking shroud like that?
I don't know. I think she wore it in her first picture, Tollible David.
Curly, you don't expect my girl to wear this thing, do you?
Might look good on your girl.
I don't want it. Even if I liked it, it's too daring. Ain't got any straps. Might fall down.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what.
What?
I'll throw in a pair of suspenders. Now, will you take it?
I don't know. What color suspenders?
Fireman red. Anything you want. Just take the dress and get it out of here. It makes me nauseous to look at it. Now, come on. I'll drop you off at your girl's house. I got to go down to the shoe shop and pick up my patent leather pumps.
Ooh. Okay. Hey, Curly, you think we'll have any fun at this party tonight?
Fun? How can we miss when we're going to have square dancing?
Since when have you been interested in square dancing?
Since I recorded the song for Victor that I'm about to sing. It's the sales, you know.
Do you have to sing, Curly?
Yeah, now be quiet and let me make a living, huh? Now Silas Lee from Tennessee got a call from an agency to furnish music for a swell affair. He played a while, then came a lull, and Silas found the party dull. He then got up and loudly did declare, Look here, you folks ain't having fun. I'd like to show you how it's done way back in them there hills of Tennessee. We'll do a square dance, one and all. You folks get set to hit the ball, and I'll give out with Mountain Melody. Go and call the neighbors in to have some fun. It ain't no sin. The music's ready to begin, so listen to the fiddler play. Take that carpet off the floor. Leave your shoes outside the door. Come on, do your dancing chore. Everybody dance. The guests were taken by surprise as Silas opened up their eyes with music they had never heard before. He said, this dance is new to you. I'll call the set, you follow through. So choose your partners. Get out on the floor. Now you down there with the fancy socks, grab that gal with all them rocks. Hit the floor and rattle your hocks, listen to the fiddler play. Round and round, let her go, sashay left and do-si-do. Search her back and hold that row, everybody dance. Then Mrs. Stuyvesant McGee latched on to Senator McCree and started pitching, winging round and round. The Count and Countess de Laval were promenading across the hall, and soon society was hoeing down. Circle left, circle right, keep your hardware out of sight. Ain't no time to start a fight, everybody dance. Then Silas really set a pace, and now in every swanky place, no more the modern dances will you see. For since they got so many thrills, the dance that came down from the hills is now the craze of high society. From Hollywood to Boston, Mass, throughout the land, the upper class are choosing partners for a jamboree. And now at every swell affair, who's calling sets and fiddling there? No one but Silas Lee from Tennessee.
Hey, Alice, I'm back.
Well, it's about time. I've been home an hour. Where have you been?
Well, I went down to get my shoes, got to talking, cutting up touches with the guys.
Never mind that now. We've got to get dressed. It's getting late. Come along with me, Phil. I've got a surprise for you, and I can't wait to show it to you.
Okay, honey.
Oh, well, you see what I've got to wear to the party tonight. It's right here in the closet, and I... Look, Phil, it's not here.
Something's missing?
Somebody's taken my new brown and yellow evening gown.
Boy!
Be someplace around. Help me look for it, Phil.
Oh, look, honey, I haven't got time now. My plane's leaving for Indochina.
Oh, this is no time to clown. We've been robbed, and I've got to get my gown back.
But, honey, I...
Don't stand there. My gown has been stolen. Call the police.
I don't think they stole it.
If you don't call them, I will.
Now, let's not be hasty, honey. The crook's probably still in the neighborhood. I'll go out and catch him. I'll return with your dress, but if I'm not back in an hour, you can write me at the Burma Hotel. That's Shanghai 12, China.
Frankie, thank goodness I found you. I've been looking all over for you for the last 2 hours.
What's all the excitement about?
That dress I gave you for your girlfriend. Alice wants to wear that tonight.
Alice wants to? Isn't she being a little presumptuous? Why should Hildegard loan her dress to a stranger? It ain't sanitary.
Now, wait a minute, Brentley.
Besides, it won't fit Alice.
What do you mean it won't fit her? Alice had it made.
Hildegard had it altered.
Altered?
Oh, she's smaller than Alice, so she had it shortened and taken in.
Oh, no, no. Hey, Frankie, that was a brand new dress, and I gave it to you by mistake.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Curly. Don't worry, I'll get it back.
Oh, get it back, get it back. What good is that going to do? Now it's been shortened and taken in, it won't fit Alice. Oh, what are we going to do?
Well, there's only one thing we can do. We'll have to shorten Alice and take her.
Really, when you cut it out, I know
what... Wait a minute, Curly. Why don't you go to the place Alice bought the dress and get her another one just like it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. She'll never know the difference,
huh?
Well, then, come on, Frankie. I know where Alice buys her clothes. Come on, open up in there. Hey, will you open it up, please? Come on, please, somebody open up. I gotta get in there. Will you?
No use, Curly. It's no use. The store is closed. There's nobody in there.
But I can see the dress we want on that wax dummy. We gotta get in.
Yeah, Curly, the door is locked.
Then we'll have to force the lock.
Fine. How?
Well, if we had a nail file, we could pry it.
If we had a hammer, we could break it.
Why don't you breathe on it and melt it? What are the James boys up to today?
Well, if you must know, Julius, I'm going to a formal tonight, and I gotta get an evening gown.
What happened to the one you wore in Atlantic City?
This evening gown doesn't happen to be for me. It's for Mrs. Harris.
Oh, in that case, maybe I can help you. Why don't you break the door down?
That's a good idea.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll batter it down. One side, Frankie. Right. Step back, Julius. All right, step back a little further, kid.
All right, I'm back.
Good. Now put your head down and run toward the door. What'd you stop for?
What did I stop for? You expect me to put my head through a plate glass door?
I didn't ask you to put your head through it. All I want you to do is to jar it loose a little.
I got news for you, Pan Fried. I ain't gonna do it.
Never cooperate with me. What are you, a communist or something? Why won't you do it?
Reasonable, but every time I put my head through a glass door, it gives me a headache. I guess there's a weak spot in my little nervous system.
Hey, Curly, we can't break the door down. It'll make too much noise. It'll bring the cops on us.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we gotta do.
What?
We gotta find a quiet way to get in.
Right.
A quiet way, huh?
Hmm?
I got it. All you gotta do is take a rock and throw it through the window like this. Nah, that's a little too noisy.
Julius, you little monster, what are you trying to do?
Pipe down, you jerk. You'll bring the cops down on us.
I'll bring the cops. Why, you little...
All right, Frankie, all right. Leave him alone. This is no time to argue. As long as he broke the glass, let's crawl through and get the dress.
Be careful crawling through, fellas. You have to trip over this loose wire. Here, let me pull it out for you.
Hey, Frankie, we got here just in time. The phone's ringing. I'll get it.
Hey, wait a minute. That ain't no phone. It's a burglar alarm.
Oh, no.
Well, now I got everything going smoothly. I think I'll run along. So long, second.
Hey, you little punk, I'll break your neck.
All right, leave him alone. Well, you can't do no business with him. I've always told you that. You keep fooling with him. You're the one that talked to men to us.
Well, it's ringing.
Stop arguing, will you? Let's grab that dress and get out of here. I'll leave the money on the counter. Now, come on with
me. All right.
My dress back.
Never mind now. Just put it on, honey, and let's get going. Hey, Frankie.
Hmm?
She'll never know it's not her dress.
I hope not. Hey, Curly, I noticed something on the label. Is 48 Alice's size?
No. I don't think so, but what if it is a little snug? Don't worry about that, kid. She's got the figure to wear one of them tight-fitting, strapless gowns. She'll get into it, all right.
Bill, will you come in here a minute, please?
Okay, honey. Excuse me, Mr. Franklin.
Yeah, you bet.
What do you want, honey? Alice, why are you standing there with the top of your dress and your teeth?
That's the only way I can hold it up. It's too big for me. Didn't fit this way in the store. What happened?
Well, maybe when I grabbed it back from the guy, I stretched it a little. I think... Oh, look at it. Yeah, I think it looks beautiful. And it's not too big. Turn around and let me see how it looks in the back. Well, turn around. Honey, don't stand there. Turn around.
Turning, the dress isn't. I can wear this dress.
After all the trouble I went to get it back, you're going to wear it. Now, come on, it's getting late.
But, Phil, it doesn't fit me.
Stop exaggerating. It looks beautiful. You're going to be the best dressed woman there. And stop holding it up with your teeth. Gee whiz, just because a dress doesn't cling to you, you women think it don't fit. Looks better a little bit loose, and believe me, you're gonna... Alice, go back and get your dress!
Certainly was a wonderful party, wasn't it, honey?
Phil, where did Frankie's girl get the same gown I was wearing?
Oh, I don't know. Just a coincidence, I guess.
Well, hers fit her better than mine fit me.
It did not. Just looked that way because she had a better figure.
Oh, she had a better figure, huh?
No, not really, honey. Your figure was just as good when you were her age. And... No. I mean, that is... Look, we'd better have some music before I get murdered.
This program is produced and directed by Paul Phillips. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox.
The Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 23rd, 1949 on NBC. And so closes this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.